Happy Mother's Day and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 97, part 4, No One But Jesus. Today is Sunday, May 10th, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
If you kept the law perfectly, you wouldn't be in such a perfect standing as you are right now, even though you're a sinner saved by grace, even that you have a fallen nature, because Jesus Christ has done it all perfectly and your standing is in Him. And that's a standing far above if you would have kept the law to the very nth degree. It's like they would have put Adam and said, Adam, go in and the garden and sin not for 7 years. And he went in and he kept the whole thing perfectly. But yet he is still open to fall. But now, even though we are fallen, praise God, we are elevated in Christ Jesus, hidden in Christ in God. What a standing we're standing in. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, we are, when we recognize where we're at. When we understand the message of justification, think of it, there is therefore no condemnation. And the children of God in one sense may be said to have a state of probation, but yet in another sense, there is no probation. There is no probation as to whether the child of God should be saved. None whatsoever. He is saved already. His sins are washed away. His righteousness is complete, and he can't be defiled. Can't be. Isn't that exciting? Well, now, how about these people that just go out and they do this and this and this? Now, don't you worry about everybody else. You just think about yourself. Just think about yourself. And think about the rest of the time you have here on planet Earth. Already saved, Sin's already washed away. Righteousness complete. Can't be defiled. And now in closing, let's correct some of these misapprehensions about which get the Christian down. Now, when I first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I think a lot of us, we think that our being pardoned involves a great many things, and later on we afterwards find that it has nothing to do at all with our pardon. And what do you mean? We think we will smile forever. After I got saved, I thought I was going to smile forever. I hurt my face because I was smiling. I suppose my face will get used to it, but I'm just going to beam. It's not true. I can tell by looking at a lot of you it's not true. You can tell by looking at their radio audience it's not true. We think the battle is over. Burden lifted. No more battles, no more cares. Praise the Lord. Oh, I feel so good. Whoa, no more battles. No more wars. My mind is free. I don't have to worry about nothing anymore. And we think that we have the whole victory and all we have to do is claim it and wave a palm branch. Free, no more battles, no more cares. And everyone waves their palm leaf. Oh, it's so wonderful down here. No, it ain't going to be wonderful down here. You'd never want to get to heaven. And we'll just keep waving our palm leaves and praising the Lord. We are saved forever, evermore. And we'll wave our palm leaves on and on until we reach that yonder shore. Huh? How many thought that? I did. I actually thought that. I thought it's all over. Keep waving. Wow, this is great. Now we just wait and smile and wave our palm leaves. Now, aren't those all obvious mistakes? Aren't they? The text does not say this. It says, he that believeth is not condemned. And yet it doesn't say your faith will not be tried over and over and over again. Because untried faith is not faith at all. Stop claiming no trials. It will kill your faith, which is your life. The life I live now, I live in faith, for it is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. I claim no trials today, Lord. And your faith is going to get weak. Your faith was made for trials. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Oh. Faith, I'm saying, is received for the very purpose of endurance. And it's the same way you're a target. Your faith is a target for the devil. God gives you this faith with the intention of letting trials and troubles and sin and Satan aim all their darts at it. Don't faint. How many found that to be true? See, because when you have faith, it is a great privilege, but no, it involves great trial. Great trial. You ask for great faith, and the other day maybe says, God, increase my faith. Did you also consider that you asked for great troubles too? Greater burdens, Did you actually consider that it would be a bigger and a closer bullseye? And it would seem that every dart had its own personal little guidance system to hit you right in the middle of the bullseye. Getting kind of quiet in here. Got a whole lot of fraidy cats in here or what? Sure you're going to have a little bit of fear. I remember 4 or 5 years ago standing up here and say, God, make a man of God out of me. Send me any trial you want to. And boy, have I had him since I prayed that prayer. You remember that night? But it's done something for me. Just done something for me. Better believe it. Made me humble, that's what it did. Made me open to receive God, that's what happened. Say amen. Seemed like God sent every nasty, nasty person ever was my way. They're all armed with darts. They all stood there smiling, all of a sudden somebody whispered to somebody. And I seen him raise their arms and the darts started flying. Yeah! Bullseye! See, you can't have a great faith to lay up and to rust. You want to have great faith? Oh, Lord, I'll just have this great faith. And I don't want to use it right now, but sometime in the future, I'll lay it. Never know when a Goliath may come along and lay it up on the shelf. No, it's everyday faith. Yesterday's faith is yesterday's faith and today's faith, and you have enough faith for today. That's the only faith you're going to have, enough faith for today. You can't store up faith. If you could store it up, then you'd just get lazy. Oh, I got a barn full of faith. I can use it anytime I want to. Right now, I'm just going to lay back and claim a few things. You know, the Lord showed me this morning, it was just crazy. It showed me a picture of all these people, and they had these faith claim coupons. And it was just crazy. And all of a sudden, there was all these people sitting in this room, and the auctioneer was a devil. I hear five, here five, here five, here five, here ten, over here ten, here. And people were using faith tickets to buy claim things. To claim things with these coupons. And I don't know. This brother over here, if you got that, you got them faith coupons, let's hear it over here, let's hear it over here. Put your money where your mouth is, your faith coupons where they're. And everybody was just in there and they were all using their faith for the wrong things. Then he showed me another picture of it was an assembly hall. First, I thought it was so clear, I thought I had seen it the night before on TV. Honest, I was sitting up in the cafe this morning getting ready for his message, I thought, where did I see this picture? But it was in my spirit. There was a guy standing on sort of a round platform with steps going down, and there was an audience up there, and the devil was speaking, and all these demons were sitting in there. And this guy ran in, he says, "Oh, didn't catch me! Didn't catch me!" And he started running. And I thought, well, that's just like a lot of times we do. Well, Christians do. They'll run and, "Didn't get me, didn't get me, ha, 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 ha. You can't catch me." And then I had another one. I don't even want to go into it. Involved government and just a whole lot of different things happened this morning. I don't know. It was just crazy, but it was great. See, because if you have a great measure of faith, you will need to use all of it. You can't put any of it away someplace. You'll never have a scrap to spare. Do you remember the story about the virgins in the Bible, and they didn't put oil in their lamps, and the one faithful one had oil in them, and woke just one, "Hey, can we borrow some of your oil?" "No, because, if I give you some oil, it won't be enough. And if I give you some of my oil, I won't have enough." See, because I only have enough. God knows how much oil and how much faith I have to have for this particular trial. And he never gives me any extra. And so I have to make my faith count. So I can't give you some of my faith because it won't work for you. And if I give it to you, it won't work for me. It won't be enough. And I haven't stored any up. I got just enough light to make it through. And that's the way it is when we're walking in faith. Now, you have a great big movement, and so God gives you a large amount of faith. You're going to use every scrap of it. There will be none left. You say, "Ooh, this is a hairy trial. Ooh, wonder if I have enough faith." You have just enough and no more. Just enough. You can't store it up. Sort of like manna, it'll get all maggoty and moldy. One day, God gives you daily bread. God gives you daily faith. Oh, glory to God. That light that they speak of in the virgins, glory to God. That light is Jesus Christ. I've only got enough Jesus right here to make it through this trial. And tomorrow, as I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I'll have enough to make it through the next trials. He is my object. Oh. But when your faith is exercised, let me say this, with trials, do not think you are brought into judgment for your sins. So many times we think, "God's punishing me, I know it." No, you're punishing yourself. No, people, there is plenty of exercise, but that is not condemning. That's not condemnation. There's a lot of exercises. There's a lot of things we do and it looks like a seeming failure. You're not condemned. It's an exercise of faith. There are many trials, but we are still justified. We are often, it says in the Bible, buffeted, but we are never accused. We are many times cast down, but the sword of the Lord never can and never will smite us to the heart, never. Our faith may get low, and still we are not condemned, or our faith gets low. When our faith is almost dried up, you are still not condemned. When your faith is like a tidal wave, there's no more accepted than when it's a ripple in the pond. Your acceptance does not depend upon a quantity of your faith. It only depends upon its reality. If it's only a spark, all the demons of hell cannot blow it out. Still, the message is you are not condemned. When your faith is at real low state, it's still faith. And when your comforts decay, how many have comforts and they decay? I'm not comfortable anymore. Your faith then starts to decline. And yet your acceptance doesn't decay. You're still accepted in the Beloved. Your acceptance in God is perfect. It never changes. You may not talk to Jesus for days. You may not feel worthy. You may lose your peace, and you may lose your patience, and you may lose your joy, and you may walk around singing the blues. Oh, I never felt more like singing the blues. I never felt more like giving it up without you. You got me singing the blues, huh? And you will have days when the Bible gives you no comfort. Your favorite scriptures may not even lift you up. You may grieve His Spirit and He may turn His face away from you for a time. And yet you are not and you cannot be condemned. He may chastise you. He abideth faithful, though He hide His face from me. But let me go a little bit further as I wind up here. Glory to God, I hope you got this message today. Satan may assault you, and you may give up in despair. Oh, God, I just give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. Give up. Huh. How many have felt like giving up? You know, what happens? Well, you're still justified when you're feeling like that. I'm not condemned as the verdict. The devil and his many helpers may say, you are lost now forever. Liars, liars, everyone. Not condemned as the verdict. Are you hearing it? But what say you if a child of God should sin? Well, some say, let us sin that grace may abound. When we love God, we don't twist his word around, do we? And when we do, you know what happens? We're covered. We're covered. And we're sick and we're lonesome and we've been in some kind of a sin, adultery, whatever, fornication, whatever. And we're feeling that need. And we don't even feel that need on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us the feel of the need. Even that we know that we have a need is brought by the Holy Ghost. You can boast in nothing. Oh, I feel I need to go to Jesus. No, the Holy Spirit gave you the desire to even feel the need because your flesh wanted to go on and what it was doing. But the inner man was touched by the Holy Ghost. And Jesus comes and wraps you up. He said, hey, he opens your garment. Did you forget you had this garment on? Bundle up, cover up. Isn't that a comforting feeling? Doesn't that feel good when your parents, you've done all kinds of wrong and they come in and they just sort of pull your head into your, pat you on the cheek and say, well, let's talk about this tomorrow. Just lay down and get a good night's sleep. You've been through enough today. Don't you sleep good? See, Christ is our righteousness. And we will reach heaven. Why? Not condemned. Bible says we are kept by the power of God. And if what I've said sticks in some of the preachers' throats that do listen to this ministry, get over it quickly. And for a minute, think of what would happen to many if there was no complete covering. Even ourselves. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. We are not condemned. Then at no time will God ever look upon his children when they believe in Christ as being guilty. You may many times look at yourself that way, but it is not so. Then what does the text exclude? It excludes boasting. If it says, he that worketh is not condemned. Oh, wouldn't we all be working? We'd have bib overalls on and we'd have tools protruding from every pocket. Leave that wall alone, that dirty wall. That's mine. Get out of my way. I'm working my way to heaven. But when it says, he that believeth, what can you say for yourself? When you can only look at Jesus Christ as the object of your faith and see him high, yes, high and lifted up because he hath done it, where then can you boast? Lord, I know as I right now preach behind this pulpit, I deserve 1,000 times I could have been condemned since I got behind this pulpit today. Even when I'm praying, I deserve to be condemned. Oh, our prayers, like I gave him a little bit of an example down there. Lord, I so love to be alone with you. Oh, I am so sick and I am so tired of all these sinners, Lord. You know how they are. I'm sinning right in my prayer. Even when we're repenting, we're sinning and adding to our sins. We are. See, it's in you. We can't help ourselves. We are sinners. We must totally depend upon him, Jesus Christ, even when we're repenting. God, I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to use this as an excuse.
But, you know, if you hadn't have given me Eve, this never would have happened. Of course, I'm not blaming her either. I know I'm partially to blame. Yes, 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 Lord. And Lord, if it wasn't for my neighbor, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but call it fate, whatever, but we're sinning while we're repenting. It's a continual thing going on in your mind, the sin nature that's always throwing itself up. Always. Always. Oh, but I repented! Oh. We can't help ourselves. Every act we do as a result of the flesh is sin again. And our best performances are so stained with sin. Have you caught yourself in your best performances? When you're just down there, I was serving in the hobo bus. Pouring soup up. And you know, I have to depend on the Lord all the time, or evil thoughts come up. Evil thoughts about the people that come on. Someone doesn't just say the right thing to you or smile or whatever. Give me some water! Bring the water up here. Where's my soup? Can I have seconds? Well, that's not seconds. That's your fifth bowl, buddy. God, I need help. How many in here need help? How many need to know that you're justified? You're justified. There's no way. The minute you think you can do something on your own, you can't do nothing without Jesus. Absolutely, positively nothing. Oh, Lord, help us all! Our performances are so stained with sin that it's hard to know whether they are good works or bad works. I thought I did a good work, and I thought, well, that was a good work. And then I said, what, Holy Spirit? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, well, if they were good works, they were works of the Holy Ghost. Because if they were works of you, they're evil. But there's a beautiful person on the inner man I'm talking about now. The Holy Spirit guiding, the becoming more Christ-like every day on the inner man, taking over, inhabiting your body, Jesus. So how can we boast? Be gone, pride. Never self-congratulate yourself, Christian. Preachers call me. One preacher called up says, you know, I ministered to years to this person and many, many great deliverance messages to many, many people. And then someone else will come and say, I know I taught that person how to repent. You know what I told him? I said, just keep quiet. Don't say a word. Deliverance is from the Spirit. Some deliverances are long and some deliverances are short, but they're all of the Holy Ghost. You can boast in nothing. Preachers, we got to stop boasting. Well, through my ministry, they were delivered. I gave them the word and they were delivered totally. It is an ongoing thing. And then you'll see them maybe even partially fall back into that thing again. Boast not. Any good thing we do is of the Holy Ghost. And praise God that the Holy Spirit is guiding us. And praise God that it's the love of God that constraineth us. And praise God that we are all sinners saved by grace. And when we come after 50 years of being saved, we come as a sinner, and all we got to give Jesus is our sins. You have nothing to give Jesus but your sins. You can't call, well, I got some sins. And then you carry your logbook of all the things you've done, good works you've done. Lord, I just want to clear this one sin with you, and then I have a meeting. I got all my notes and everything here. We're going to have a great time in Florida. There's going to be a great revival down there, Lord. Great revival. Oh, prayer cards have gone out all over. Yes, yes, Lord. And this one sin, I want to clear it so I can minister. Just this one sin. I got mad at a brother the other day.
And, you know, I sinned. And I want all this, that things that I've done, not to be, you know, I want them to be counted. And I know they won't be counted unless I confess this one sin. Brother, you have nothing to bring Jesus Christ. Oh, and Spirit, lead me in saying this. Nothing to bring Jesus but your sins. Henceforth and forevermore, don't think that the works that you've done are going to get you anything. They are works of the Spirit through you. You can boast in nothing. Your rewards are in heaven, and there's spiritual rewards, and there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible, and don't try to discover what they are. Just accept the blessings of God and go on. And also here, there is no condemnation. You know what that excludes also? Long faces. You ever seen somebody with a long face? They don't like me. People are talking about me. I'm going to quit. I give up. It excludes long faces. No condemnation excludes long faces. No dungeon time. It excludes the dungeon. No cat o' nine tails. And remember, when you have a negative outlook, it comes from having another object of your faith, your feelings, yourself, the weather conditions. Well, the spiritual weather condition is so that I cannot walk in faith today. I don't feel like it. No condemnation takes that away from you. It's excluded. Excluded. Totally excluded.
Well, don't we have hard and trying days? And when you say that, everybody shakes their head.
Why are people so ready to agree that everybody's having a hard time? And they never remember the beautiful things that God has done for them already. They forget all that, and they forget all the beautiful things that God has done, and they center all their attention on one little stinking bad hard time. Why? Because they are sinners. All of you are. All of us are.
Oh, gosh, what have you left us?
I've left you Jesus. Do you need more? I mean, when we understand our standing, we will kill doubt. If you have one doubt, it'll breed like cockroaches. No condemnation excludes all the doubts. It excludes all sinning. Lord, I have sinned against you so many times. And yet you freely forgive all. I am still justified. What stronger motive could I have for to keep me from sinning than the love of God and His total forgiveness 70 times 7 a day? When I go to Him, what makes me want to serve Him? He says, you're forgiven. You are justified in the Beloved. The love of God is more powerful than any law, and the love of God is the soil that I'm growing in. I'm growing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ by recognizing there is no good thing in me, and I want more of Jesus. And I say today for this message, I say it with all my heart, thank you, Lord, for that word, that he that believeth is not condemned. And I'm going to read one psalm, and it's a real quick one. It's about 3 minutes. It's Psalm 78 and 42. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. And here we have the story when they were delivered out of Egypt, the same as we were delivered out of the world. They must have found it hard to forget, and I don't think they really forgot, but they practically forgot it. And I believe that he who gets the natural, right now, returns of gratitude may justly then be charged with not remembering the obligation. You are obligated. when you forget, glory to God, you forget also that you are obligated. And so you forget because it's, well, you don't want to be obligated. You don't want to be obligated by doing anything. When you're thankful for the Lord, then you want to work. Faith without works is dead, but there's got to be some kind of gratitude for what God has done for you. And you just get so full with gratitude, you say, God, what do you want me to do next? God, I know He hates that forgetfulness of His blessings, first because He has commanded that we should not forget them. How many of God has blessed you in here? How many in here is God blessed? Put your hand way up. Sometimes you just sort of throw it up. They're in rest position. You know what I mean? Ever seen us when we're in rest position? How many in here is God blessed? And they go, yeah. Lift up your arms. God has blessed you. Get them both up there and say, God, you've blessed me. You blessed me with life. You blessed me with my wife. You blessed me with this church. You blessed me with the North Side. You've blessed me, Lord, over and over and over and over again. Secondly, because forgetfulness is a sign of contempt. When we forget what God has done, that's contempt. And thirdly, I believe it's a peculiarity of a singular carelessness. And fourthly, I believe it springs from unbelief. And fifthly, I believe it is the greatest mark of ingratitude when you forget what God has already done. Ingratitude at its highest degree. Ingratitude when you go, I just feel so frumpy. Ingratitude. When we lead others and we say, haven't we had a tough week? How about all them other weeks? You're going to have trials. You're going to be tested. All of us are. We are a bullseye for Jesus. Say amen, somebody. Glory, that's what it's all about. You can't take your faith and hide it up on some shelf or fill up some barn with it or go to some, claimant club and pass out these coupons and ask for the wrong thing. And sometimes God will answer your prayers because He's angry. Oh, you want quail, huh? Wrong diet out there in the desert. They didn't need meat. They needed angel food. God is angry, and He answers prayers. Oh, God answered my prayers. He did. But He was angry. He says, this is what you want? I'll give you the desires of your heart. You want this beat-out person for a husband? Okay, here he is. Hey. Still justified. Still justified. If we would glorify Him, we must hold fast the beginnings of our confidence steadfast until the end. And that comes out of Hebrews 3 and 14. What you started with, you got to end with. Faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that you are fully justified, even yes, until the end. Hallelujah. And that you are obligated through this beautiful message to say, Lord, send me. Lord, help me with my sin of blaming everybody else. Lord, help me with my laziness. Lord, take it from me. Instill within me a desire to serve you for all the great things you have done for me. Take away and wipe away that long face that I carry around. Take it, oh Lord. Take away that puffed up pride that said a certain message delivered a person totally. It is of the Holy Ghost, glory to God. And we must learn to give the glory to God. And God right now is moving by such a tidal wave of faith. He's bringing it in. He says, receive this larger faith. Become that larger target. Be that one that will stand up and be counted in the time of trial. There'll be some martyrs, and there'll be some people out there that are going to have to stand up when the devil brings all the tools of every weapon against justification, the election, and the purifying of the saints forever by the blood of Jesus Christ, the simple gospel message that, after all, isn't too simple, is it? It's so deep, and it's so high, and it's so wide that you can't get over it, you can't get under it, and you can't get around it, but you got to come through at the door, and the door is Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you're going to get to the Father, and that's the only way you're going to get blessed, is seeking the will of God. And we must learn how to pray, not "Thy will be done," but "Your will be done, Lord. Your will be done." Say amen, somebody. Lord, we just want to thank you today for allowing us to get a peek at the great message of justification by faith. Thank you, Lord, for this message, and thank you for these people. God, we pray now that the anointing of the Holy Spirit go forth in such a magnitude, such a wave, Lord, that you on the radio and on tape right now understand this message, take it forth onto all those out there, all creation, and minister that, hey, the minute that you are born again, you are justified, you are saved forever, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now go on out and read your Bible, start doing the things that God shows you to do. Thank you, Lord, that it's so simple that we try to confuse it so that we will look knowledgeable to others, but Lord, we look so stupid in our interpretation and our personal defining of our own puny revelations of what your word has so deep. God, thank you right now that we don't have to depend on ourselves, and that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, right now that you are moving in such a wave, in such a beautiful manner, Lord. God, right now, give us the faith to believe through these hard times that are coming upon us right now. Thank you, Lord, that it is no longer we that live, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you, Lord, that the banner over us is love, and that your love will constrain us, and that your love will take us through. Thank you, God, right now for the north side and the challenge of the north side. And God, right now, instill in people's hearts all over, you on the radio, get involved. You listening to this tape, get involved. You in the prison, you in the women's prison, get involved. Don't rely on your own self, but simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Do a work while wherever that you're at. You out there in Stillwater, and you out there in Africa, and you out there in Norway, and you out there in Sweden, you down there in Cuba, you over there in Russia and China. My God, help us to get tapes out all over and help us to get the message out. Help us Lord, to believe for now Bibles and concordances and tapes and all kinds of instruments, Lord, to get the gospel message out as we now come into the perfect will of God right now, as we come into the perfect will of the Father, as we open up the door of Jesus Christ and Lord, that we enter into the things that you'd have us to do now, Lord God. Help us to be that faithful worker found in the field, Lord. When you come, we'll be found out there working and doing your works, Lord God. When that rapture comes and when that final trumpet sounds, that we be lifted, Lord, with a plow in our hand and our eyes straight ahead, Lord. Have us to be lifted, Lord, with our vessels full of your oil, just enough to make it to rapture time, Lord. Not an inch more, Lord. But, Lord, help us to see right now by the eye of faith that you have prepared great things for us to do, that you have prepared a body, hallelujah, without spot or wrinkle, that your new Jerusalem is coming down, Lord God, that this great, great message, Lord, go forth, the justification by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. God, magnify yourself. Oh, Jesus, be magnified by the Holy Spirit. God, help us to do these works that you called us to do. Help us, Lord God, that our sinful flesh stop complaining and get busy to pick up the plow and not turn back. Lord, help us to be those ones that will plant that seed out there, Lord God, and not worry and pick up the plant to see if it's growing, but know that God causes the increase. Lord, stop all the competing there is. Stop all the jealousies in all the ministries. Stop up our mouths, Lord God. Sinners, sinners, sinners. God, put a clamp on our lips. Zip up our lips, Lord God. Sew them shut if need be. But God, let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Open to change. Open to the new revelation of God right now, which is the gospel message, not new but old, but ever new. In Jesus' name we pray this very day, Lord. Lift up, Lord. Sanctify. Make holy, Lord. Do that work which you've been doing right along, Lord. We have haven't been noticing. We give you thanks and honor and glory and praise for all you've done. We aren't defeated. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Stop us to use those negative words and stop us not to appreciate all the blessings that you've given us from the beginning, before the foundation of time was even brought about. Thank you, Lord, for the many things you have done and you will do. And God, we are ready for those trials that you'll bring upon this great nation, the USA. Lord, we are ready because the banner over us is love and the flag over us is the banner of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for the message of the hour that we are justified by faith. In Jesus' name I have preached today and I pray that it be received. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, we are entering a time. We are really entering a time where the Lord is going to be glorified. And it is exciting. It is exciting. Recognize that none of us are sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. What a message for the hour. What a message. Is there someone out there today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Someone out there that doesn't have Jesus. Somebody on the radio or someone listening to this tape, all you have to do is listen to the command. You must be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None. All your sins will be washed away. All the frustration will go and God will see you as pure and holy. Ain't that a message and a half? Aren't you glad for it? I am. Every sin forgotten. Everyone. Doesn't that make you want to serve God? Sure it does. Are you born again?
Yep.
What about you, son? Are you born again? Okay, are you born again, honey? Okay. Is there anyone here that doesn't know for sure today? You can know for sure today by obeying the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you know what it says in the Bible? That the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. If you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that will be saved. God already put it in your mouth. He already put it in your heart. All you have to do is say it. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know? Are you born again? Okay. We don't want to miss anybody. Oh, glory. I hope they have some gospel preachers out there at them fishing holes and people are sitting out there in them fishing holes out there. Huh? Well, we should send them out there in boats and they could row up on the guys fishing. What are you fishing for? Oh, we're going to get some crappies. Or maybe we're going to get some of these sunfish. Well, I'm a fisherman and I'm not fishing for that. Put your oars up for a minute. Pull in your line. I got something to tell you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm fishing for souls. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And your fishing will probably improve also. At least you'll have more fun doing it and a lot more patience. See, what I'm saying is you have to go out to the highways and to the byways. You have to go out and minister to all creation or you'll just naturally dry up yourself. You don't leave the job up to the preacher. You be an example by doing. Not only hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. And that's where you get your life, see? And even people with guys like, like Billy Graham and all these different people, even in our church down here, people can get bored.
So if you're